Dr. Salvatore De Mauro is a geographer who studies the processes of soil formation and of the processes of change in soils based on use and management. How to make soil science coherent with collective struggles. From the left and below. Salvatore De Mauro. Thank you very much. Thank you to the organizers. This is very impressive, this event and this beautiful location. I am very sorry for my errors because my Spanish is not perfect. I hope it will be clear enough. Look what I'm going to say. What I'm going to share with you is part of a much bigger project. I just finished with dozens of compas and internationalists have just produced a plan of action. And part of the plan is what I'm doing right now, to share soil science knowledge and perspectives. But one of the most important actions we have to do is to engage in support of campaigns like that of Marichuy and initiatives for autonomy around the world. And I hope someday we can do that in the United States, where I live. So to begin, science of soils, and I've got to read this because I'm not so good in Spanish. Soil science is one of the fields where we are most disinformed. People tell us that soil science started in the 1700s in Germany, but soil science has very deep history. In every place where people developed agriculture, there are knowledges that are thousands of years old about soils, and there is a great deal of systematic information that can help us both with practice and with theory to understand the formation of soils and the management of soils. And when we look at the change in soil quality and the changes in the difference isn't so great between the institutional knowledge and the local knowledge. These are called indigenous sciences or autochthonous sciences. We can say that the sciences are very local knowledges too, with different kinds of objectives. These are complementary. These different kinds of saberes are separated by a wall that is set up and maintained by relations of domination. And the autochthonous knowledges may be localized in a certain sense, but they are very deep, and they have understandings of relationships in place. But the institutional relationships, they want generalized, universalized explanations and bits of knowledge. They want to be able to apply it all in the same way in different places all over the world. So, for example, the ideas about formation of soils. There are some properties of all soils. All are products of relations between minerals, organic material, living organisms, and there are millions. The climate, the topography, all within the time available for the soil to form. And sometimes it's had a very long history and sometimes shorter. But in addition to these factors, there are lots of things that differentiate soils in different places. In some places, the soils are being reformed or deformed by global capitalism. The complementarity of autochthonous science and of institutional science can be seen in the different kinds of soil classifications. In Yoruba, in Nigeria, the suelos are differentiated by color, odor, texture, and topographic position. This is not so different than what is noted in soil studies and institutional science. There is a lot of complementarity and overlap. And we can mix these different kinds of knowledges, these different saberes. Here's an example. In the Hungarian official system, there is a lot of information about soil formation. There's much less in the American system. So they pay a lot of attention to the kind of vegetation, the climate, but the indigenous agricultural scientists, they get agricultural knowledge in schools, but there is also another serious influence of empire. The farmers pay a lot of attention to soil color and texture. But they also look at coronas. This, in Hungary, this cohabits with formal soil science in the schools and with research. And the Roma people, men and women classify the soils differently. And it's the consequence of different social contexts in which they deal with soil. Is it from doing agriculture? Is it from going to school in the university? Is it looking at places for football fields? What is their contact with the soil? The characterization of soil is never neutral. It depends on the social priorities at play. And right now in the sciences, we have patriarchal science, we have imperial science. So when you do science that's going to be a real people science, you have to get past just the technification of soil science and the ideologies of dominant systems and the dominant technical classification, but you also have to deal with the priorities in the use of soil. But soils don't just reduce to society either. Social priorities influence classification, but the soils are very different intrinsically between them. They're products of interaction and relations between millions of organisms, organic, and then minerals, and time, and weather. So these chemical and physical processes are quite distinct from one place to another. So whatever method of classification you use, what characteristics have received the most attention and why in a given classification? for a given group or a given institution with their classification. What are they paying the most attention to? And then how do we compare these? So there is a relationship between the ideology and the reality of soils. Soil science can be used to impose bourgeois ideas about the use of soils. Sort of like the black soils of Amazonas. Or the black soils of Aotearoa in New Zealand. In the study of soil, there are many anthropic ideas put into people's understandings of soil even before agriculture. In the black soils in Europe and the black soils in Brazil are both actually rich based on agriculture in forests that may not have been understood before. So, there were very constructive impacts of people on soil in those cases, and they enriched the soil. So, but in soil science, these more egalitarian societies and these uses of land and these enrichments of the soil can't be replicated. It's not like you can just do an experiment and recreate these. And so now we're thinking about soils in latifundios, in large plots, in large properties. So these ancient societies produce these beautiful soils, and then somebody comes and puts a plantation or a big hacienda on top of it, and they basically mine the fertility of that place based on human history. There's another example. There's like 5,000 other examples, but I'm going to take one. In soil science, they used to talk about all tropical soils being infertile. There was a lot of prejudice in this theme of infertile tropical soils, non-productive tropical soils. And so there was this environmental determinism, right? And it was very popular in the north, in the rich countries, that talked about the formation and development of the soils. But now we can see that there are many kinds of variation, a great diversity of tropical soils, and some of the most fertile soils in the world are found in the tropics. And some of those are anthropomorphic, they're created by people. So you can look at all the ideologies and do the genealogy of them, and that can be fun. But in workshops on soil science geared toward what are the needs in local communities here, not in the big plots, but in small parcels of small farmers and communities of small farmers. So we need to get a soil science that pulls to the bottom and the left with the people who are trying to make their living on the land. And so you need to try to use the educational infrastructure or the instruments and what you need to use without giving up independence or without becoming dependent on state or corporate actors. How can we do this? How can we mobilize the resources we need? We need a lot of resources and a lot of money to do the usual kind of soil science. So we have a responsibility to figure out how to do this, if there is interest. That is my proposal. I don't have images. Sorry. For me, it's really important to give examples, to take samples, to touch the soil. It's really important for me to get samples and be able to begin to study the soil, to be able to work with it. We could map it, but it's... Thank you very much.